In February of this year, I went to Bamako, the capital city of Mali. And I met some of the inspiring singers who are using their music to raise awareness of serious social problems affecting women in this very poor West African country. While there was some unrest on the streets during my visit, for the most part I was able to travel and speak freely in this vibrant city, as I discovered how some of the traditional roles assigned to women were being challenged. Since then, things have changed dramatically. On March the 22nd, the military seized power from the democratically elected President Amadou Chimane Touré, and Mali entered a political crisis the likes of which it hasn't seen since independence from France in 1960. The ensuing instability allowed an alliance of separatist rebels and Islamic militants to take control of large areas of the north, including Timbuktu. This has led to severe economic hardship and artistic repression. There's a climate of fear in the north. Music has been banned and a strict Sharia law has been imposed. The Irish government currently advises against all travel to Mali, where the situation is considered too volatile. So the programme you are about to hear couldn't have been made today. Mali is a largely arid, landlocked West African country bordering the Sahara in the north. It's one of the poorest countries in the world. About half the population live below the international poverty line. However, until very recently, it was considered one of the most politically and socially stable democracies in Africa. One very visible success in Mali has been the popularity of so many of its musicians and singers on the international stage. The Great Desert Bluesman, Ali Faka Touré, and the band Tanarawen. The singers Selif Keita and Oumou Sangaré. The great kora player Chimane Diabaté, who we can hear now. They've all reached out beyond their homeland and captured the hearts and ears of music lovers around the world. More recently, the younger singer, Fatoumata Diawara, found a whole new audience when she performed here at the Electric Picnic. And it's hardly surprising that the music should prove such a hit. The heady mix of traditional African melodies and rhythms, fused with the amplified instruments of modern popular music, has resulted in one of the funkiest kick-ass grooves on the planet. But it's a groove that often carries an important social message, and it has the power to carry this message directly to the very people its message is aimed at. The voice of Oumou Sangaré on a song called Yalla. In the early 90s, Oumou Sangaré was one of the very first of a growing group of women singers who began using their music to highlight issues affecting women in Mali. In her songs, she's dealt with issues such as the negative aspects of polygamy and the scourge of female circumcision. But in order to see just why music can be such a powerful tool for change in Mali, we need to understand the high regard for music and music makers in Malian society. And we have one of the best people in the world to tell us about that coming up after this short break. Dr. Lucy Duran is a broadcaster, writer and lecturer in African music. When I met her, she explained how the griots, the West African hereditary musicians, have a status that stretches back to the Middle Ages.
When the Mali Empire was founded in 1235, which was around the time of the Magna Carta, and it was also the time of Genghis Khan, it was a period of creating great empires around the world, and Africa was no exception. And the founder of that empire was a warrior hunter prince by the name of Sunjata Keita. And all the time, in all his struggles to create this empire, he had as an advisor a musician who played the xylophone, the balafon. And that musician was a griot. And the griots are the lineages of specialist musicians who, since the time of Sunjata Keita, since the 13th century, have been the advisors and the historians and the genealogists and the praisers, but also the critics of the rulers of that society.
So the musician commands respect and is someone to be looked up to. But alongside these hereditary musicians, who are the bearers of an ancient tradition, there is another group of singers who have a different background. Known as songbirds, these are the singers who don't belong to any particular lineage. They've just chosen music as their path in life. And it's to this group that Umu Sangare belongs.
In Wasalu and in other parts of the Mande region, musicians who are not musicians by bloodline, but because they want to be musicians, because they're talented, because they have a kind of a natural affinity with music, they refer to themselves as songbird or kono. It actually just means bird. A bird is free, a bird flies, a bird isn't attached to any one place, and a bird has a vantage point of being in the trees or being in the sky and looking down, and they have an overview of what's going on in the world. So the songbirds are contrasted with the griots because the songbirds are free to talk about anything, and the songbirds don't sing the praises of one particular family, ruling family. The songbirds sing about social issues that concern the whole community.
And another aspect of Umu's music is her use of the rhythms and melodies of the hunters from the Wasalu region. The hunters are still viewed with respect and awe. They're considered healers, and the music of their ceremonies is thought to have mystical powers. So this music immediately evokes an emotional response in the listener, making it a particularly powerful instrument for introducing new ideas. Sometimes she'll take a song from the tradition that's normally sung in private, such as a song giving advice to a young bride. And by giving it a public performance, she invites the listener to question current attitudes.
In the days leading up to the actual wedding ceremony in villages throughout southern Mali, not just in Wasalu, the mother of the bride and the godmothers and aunts will sit her down and sing songs of advice to her of how she should behave in her new home, because once she's married, she's going to be taken to live with her husband. So obviously this is a huge rupture for most young women who've grown up with their mother and father and their extended family in one village. Suddenly they're taken to another village, which could be very far away, to live with a family they might not have even met before. And they become, they're at the bottom of the pecking order, and basically they've got to do all the rough housework, and, you know, it's a tough thing to deal with emotionally and, you know, conceptually. So there are a lot of songs of advice. And basically, Wasulu music draws on those songs. A lot of Umusangare songs, for example, are from the tradition. Most of them are from the tradition. She also composes her own songs. But in these songs, what Umu has done is she's turned songs around by using irony. She's turned songs around to take on a different meaning, so that some of the songs will say, when you go to your new husband's house, your sisters-in-law will demand the last plate of food. So don't eat anything yourself until everyone has eaten. Make sure you're up at 5 a.m. and you've collected the firewood before anyone else. If your mother-in-law doesn't like the food, accept her criticism with humility and cook again. If your brothers-in-law beat you because you haven't cleaned the house properly, accept it. They are your brothers-in-law. They are your family. Treat your father-in-law like your real father, no matter what he says to you. So there's Umusangare singing a song, for example, Sigi Kuruni, which was from her second album, Kosira. And it sounds as though she's actually telling women, yep, you're going to be beaten, and that's fine. Allow them to beat you, and that's fine. But actually, the voice of irony is that what she's doing is she's singing this song in public and saying, listen to what we're telling our young women. Listen to what we're saying to them. This is the song from the tradition. Are we really going to proceed like that? And I think that's one of the interesting things that Umusangare and other singers from the Wasulu tradition have done, is that they've taken songs from the tradition, which have a lot of resonance for people, because everybody has lived, even if you've grown up in the city, you've got relatives in the countryside, in villages. And, you know, these are experiences which are still part of people's lives and memories. And so you listen to that song, which is never intended to be sung in public. You listen to it in public, and it makes you think about things. And the songs like that are a way in which ordinary women who are not musicians can express their own feelings just by listening to this, just by sitting at a concert and hearing someone like Umusangare sing this stuff. They're actually getting it off their chest, and they're saying, yes, do you hear what she's saying? You know, that this, it creates a solidarity amongst women.
Madame Urban is the formidable woman who runs Musudambi, an organisation that exists to support the most vulnerable women in Bamako. I asked Madame Urban and Lucy Duran if they really believed it was possible to effect a positive change through music.
Si, pour moi, ça peut aider. Par exemple, la chanson sur l'excision.
Yes, I think that something like, for instance, the song Stop Excision is very helpful, because while there are plenty of people who watch television, listen to the radio, read a newspaper, there are a large number of people in Mali who don't have access to any of those forms of media. For them, a song which they hear repeatedly about the negative consequences of excision can be very effective indeed. Sometimes it is the only vehicle that can impact on them about changing old ways.
Babani Kone did a song called SIDA, which is AIDS in French, S-I-D-A, And she decided that she was going to do this song. She composed the song herself, and she was going to set it to a very modern sounding arrangement with a kind of a an almost Congolese rhythm, dance rhythm to it, and synthesizers and electric guitars, because she wanted it to be heard in nightclubs, because she said that is where the danger, the biggest danger of one of the target areas for AIDS is, you know, young kids in nightclubs together. And so she wanted to raise awareness. And that song, actually, what that song says is, if you suspect that either you or someone has AIDS, don't keep it to yourself. Speak up, you know, deal with it. It's better to be open about these things. We need to acknowledge this as a problem. And so, yeah, it was hugely influential. Probably a lot of the kids, well, the young adults who are most vulnerable to AIDS are not necessarily hearing about public health campaigns, whereas they are listening to Baba Nikone, because she's the biggest female star in Mali and has been for many years.
Next up, Fatoumata Diawara believes that change has already begun.
It's interesting now, because I think my generation is very different to the generation before. You know, I can see between me and my mother, we have like 25 years different, but we are very, very, very different. It's not same mentality, not same, you know, I choose my husband, and my mother never didn't choose her husband. So I think change is coming, but women have to do it. Nobody will do it for them, you know. What I'm trying to translate on my project is to share my experience, you know, because from theater and singing, everything, I travel a lot and I can see different things, and that helped me to be who I am today. So, and I don't want to keep it for myself. I need to share. I would like to say to my generation, so don't do female circumcision with your daughter. It's not necessary. For us, it's a finish. But for next generation, we don't need to, if we can do, you know, I needed to share my experience. So female condition can change when women will decide. I think any man refuses that, because my album is a very, in Bambara, if you understand what I say, it's more, more direct, you know. But I'm very surprised. Many people love it in Mali. Old people, young people. People received my kind of writing, and that surprised me. So that helped me also. I really is, people are ready to change. Men don't refuse to talk about female circumcision. So we just have to know from ourselves and to take our independence. You know, women need to do by herself the new ideas, I think. And so that's why I'm trying.